Hi, this is Elisha with the American Association of Paranormal Investigators at www.ghostpi.com, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
How can I remain in a state of absolute love that soulful love felt and expressed from within the heart of the soul, or we may say unconditional love, bliss, peace, and spiritual oneness in life continuously? Dr. Patty Dunn, Lady Diamond, in co-creation with Spirit, shows you the path through the new book called Stepping into Spiritual Oneness, Spiritual Rememberings of the Soul Through Life Experience, available at Diamond Lady Publishing, www.diamondladypublishing.net.
You are listening to Ghostly Time with your hosts, Doug and Scott L. Shadow Watchers is a paranormal research team located in the Central Upper Peninsula of Michigan, which is very far away from us. They use an array of tools and instruments to determine the physical aspect of an apparent haunting. As we all know, many occurrences that appear to have no explanation, in fact, have a perfectly rational cause. Kudos to you guys for that. Their purpose is to help people who are frightened, curious, or just looking for some answers about the paranormal. The Shadow Watcher policy is the needs of the living first. How many times have I been saying that on this show?
I know.
I'd like to welcome Evan from Shadow Watchers to the show. How are you doing tonight, Evan?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Really, really, really good, and we're glad to have you here.
Your website, by the way, is freewebs.com/shadowwatchers.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to freewebs...
That's our website. We haven't really been updating it too much. We've been working off MySpace a lot lately.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys have a MySpace page also. What's the website? Well, what's the URL for that?
Yeah, it seems it's a little bit better networking, especially with other groups around.
That's true. And so you're at myspace.com/shadowwatchers?
Shadow Watchers.
Okay, Shadow
Excellent.
Watchers. Cool.
Excellent.
How long have you guys been around? I'm just curious.
Shadow Watchers was developed early this year, but as far as being around, we're a pretty tight-knit bunch, and we've been investigating for close to 7 years now.
Yeah, I know you guys, there is a lot of history with your group, and it looks like you guys have done some great work. I mean, as far as investigations have gone, every time you meet a ghost hunting group, and I hate to ask these questions, well, what's the most scary investigation you've ever been on? Where were you so scared you couldn't do anything? I'm just curious, well, I have to ask you that too.
it takes a bit to shake me, but, I'd have to say we did an investigation it was an abandoned shoe factory down in Wisconsin, actually. And we had some things happen there where somebody actually, I don't really want to say they were possessed or anything like that, but they definitely had multiple personality alterations.
Mm-hmm.
And that really creeped us out quite a bit, actually.
Oh my goodness!
Wow!
So they were—you didn't say you don't want to say they were possessed, but they were displaying some type of different attitude. Their personality was not the same as it normally was, right?
Definitely not. No, it was far from normal. This girl was normally I hate the stereotype, but like a cheerleader type girl, really peppy and a little bit high strung. But yeah, she was talking in a lower tone voice and. She was saying some very negative things, we'll just say. And it scared the living bejesus out of us.
Well, I believe that did, and it was just endemic to that one night and that one investigation?
Yeah, she had no history of that. It never happened again.
Interesting. And this was an abandoned shoe factory.
Yes.
And this is obviously up in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. But, you know what? Tell us about ghost hunting in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, because from what I understand, now I've only been to the Upper just to get, you know, into Mackinac City what's the city right across the Mackinac Bridge? I've been there.
That would be St. Ignace, yeah. St. Ignace. Mackinac City is the Upper Peninsula yet.
So I've been to St. Ignace, and that's all I know about the Upper Peninsula. That and one other thing I know. I was going to, one night, I decided, okay, I'm going to drive and see the Paulding Light, which is in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. So I looked it up on MapQuest, and it's like a 9-hour drive. And I'm like, okay,
yeah, it's pretty far up there, that's for sure.
And that's when I decided, okay, I'm not going to go to the Paulding Light tonight. So, so yeah. I didn't go. But really the only place in the UP I've been is St. Ignace. And I know that it's there's long, long stretches of desolate, tree-lined, forested roads, and so tell me a bit about the culture and the lore. I would think it might be even more important than down here in the more densely populated Lower Peninsula. So what about the culture and the lore of the Upper Peninsula?
Well, it's as I'm sure you know, people up here like to call themselves Upers. It's pretty. Those names that's indigenous to the UP.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely a small town region, definitely. I believe Marquette is the biggest town, and that's still a pretty small town. And there is a lot of culture and a lot of history up here, going back to, I'm not really sure on the date, so I'm not even going to venture a guess, but Calumet was one of the first larger cities in the UP.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as mostly activity goes, the entire upper portion of the Upper Peninsula is very haunted. There's a lot of mining going on back in the day, a lot of logging. A lot of tragic events happened up there.
Well, yeah, and there's more. I mean, the mining, the logging you've mentioned, the mining for ore, by the way, because it's copper country, right?
Mm-hmm. Copper and iron ore, actually.
Copper and iron ore. So you've got the mining, the logging. You've also got the supporting trades. You've got the fur trapping industry was up there, and then there's the supporting trades of. And this is something that I follow because I'm just, I guess I'm a ghost ship geek. There's the shipping, the large vessels that carried the iron ore and the trees, over the Great Lakes back and forth. And because I have to say, Lake Superior, I mean, a wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
This is the dead lake. It was a completely
dead lake. Oh, yeah, it's the lake that never gives up its dead, actually, they call it. That's what Gitche-Gumee means.
Exactly.
That's what the Native Americans referred to Lake Superior.
So,
and there's not only the Edmund Fitzgerald, there is a lot of shipwrecks out there. Close to the coast, there's a lot of really rocky shoals, and I don't even know how many schooners ran aground there and sank, and a lot of people died. And not only the ships, lighthouses located around the coast of Lake Superior, there's a lot of haunted lighthouses up there. Actually, we have an investigation coming up next month at one of them.
Oh, wait, which one is
wow.
that? Can you name it?
The lighthouse that we're going to is, it's called Big Bay Point.
Mm-hmm.
And just for confidentiality reasons,
oh, yeah.
I don't really want to go into a lot of the things going on because it is a business and it's just
understandable.
Not really
understandable.
To give out information like that.
Yes, completely understood. So it's the small town feeling. The almost the entire UP is all like the small town feeling. Everybody knows everybody else. And
yeah, I saw Escanaba in the Moonlight. I know everything that goes on in the UP.
I've
now.
Never heard. I've been.
I wouldn't believe everything you see in that.
I've
not
seen
quite.
It.
Okay.
I haven't seen Escanaba in the Moonlight, but I know that when I was in high school, Fraser High School played Escanaba for some championship. And they were talking about the, 9-hour drive or whatever that they had to endure to get there.
To the UP.
From the UP to here, because they were playing it here at the Silver Dome in Pontiac.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty freaky. But, so I've got to get up there. You guys have a small-town feeling. Legend and lore is obviously very important, and it's passed on and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the history of the mines, and you've got ghost towns. Ghost towns like crazy in the UP, because I was looking at a map of ghost towns.
Most of them aren't even on maps, actually.
Wow.
I mean, almost everybody's heard of Fayette and a couple other ones that are state parks. But you get up north towards Ishpeming and even up into the Copper Country, there's a lot of little ghost towns just in the woods. If you're an outdoors person like I am and you're walking through the woods, sometimes you'll just randomly run into a series of rundown houses in the middle of nowhere. It's really interesting.
That would trip me out.
That is really good.
Yeah. La la la. Oh my gosh.
Look at that.
Here, let's go.
Town.
Well, yeah, let's go in and check them out.
No.
Yeah, exactly.
So you guys have a lot going on up there. So ghost hunting up there is got to be slightly different than it is here, because we've got a lot of issues. And, you know, we have to deal with history and with owners and insurance. But with you guys, it's got to be more. Is there a lot of word of mouth kind of thing go on? Is that how you get the leads on most of these things?
Yeah, pretty much. You can't always believe word of mouth, though, because one of the general rules that we follow in cases is that a good ghost story doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to get good evidence, and a not-so-good ghost story can produce amazing things. But you can't really go on lore 100%. It's a good clue to give you an idea, though.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Very true. And what's it like? Because you said that you guys also investigate private homes, and you help people. You're there to help folks, so tell us about, because these have got to be people that you either know or someone you know knows. You know, I mean, because of the small town aspect of the UP, is that more of a challenge or less of a challenge than just getting some anonymous phone call and then developing a case from there?
I would say it's more of a challenge just because of the small town environment. People don't really want other people to know that their house is haunted or what may it be, because, you know, being a small town area, a lot of people worry about rumors being spread, and you know how that works in small towns, you know? So you have to be a lot more strict in your confidentiality policies.
Yeah.
As far as that goes. Even just simple things like showing up to one of the houses, a private residence. If you show up with 50 strange cars and you're carrying in big cases of things, looks like you're moving in, people are going to talk. So we like to keep our team small, maybe a car or two. We don't use any kind of markings on our cars or anything like that. They're just regular cars. And we'll show up to a place, and we're not going to, you know, make it look like a big event. We're just going to go in and do our thing, and then leave quietly.
Oh, wait, I mean, you guys don't have your own helicopter that you land into the area with, and you don't hop out like the SWAT team and run into the house? You guys don't do stuff like that up there?
You know, we put that into consideration, but with the gas prices these days, it just wasn't economically feasible having helicopters.
That really makes a whole lot of sense there, because, I mean, with a smaller town like that, like here in the city, we live in the sprawling metropolis of Detroit here. I mean, yeah, there's just so many people. There's so many people crammed into one area. You don't have that small town type thing. And people don't talk like that. So, you don't have to be as inconspicuous. But I can only imagine up in an area like that where, so these creepy guys are all wearing black shirts. Walked into old Mary Magdalene's house or something like that. Mary Magdalene's house. Yeah, she didn't live in the UK. Huh. They just uncovered something new.
But that's pretty much exactly how it is.
Yeah.
I was up in, we used to have a cabin up near, or my family did, I didn't, but my family had a cabin up in Omer, which for years and years and years was billed as Michigan's smallest city. And, of course, I think it lost that, but then they bought the right to use the title on their sign. So even though it's no longer really Michigan's smallest city, they still...
a marketing slant.
It's a marketing, yeah. But anyway, I'm telling you, we'd be in the cabin, there's like three or four dwellings on this entire road, right? And you could hear cars and pretty much judge what, you know, where they were, like what other road they were on within a four or five road radius,
yeah,
and what direction they were going, and if they stopped at someone's house. So you could, the next day, say, so who was over after dinner? You know,
I couldn't
to somebody
live
like
that.
Five or six, you know.
I could not live
away.
Like that. Because you know my attitude already. I mean,
and
what's it to
they
you?
They were so nosy. I'm telling you, they knew everything that everybody did at any given moment.
Mm-hmm.
So, did
exactly.
You
that's how it is. That brings up a lot of issues. So, you have to be really careful with that.
So, it does happen. It really does. You've got a challenge there.
Well, I know when I went to my grandmother's house 2 months ago, me and Amber were down there, and my grandmother, she lives in, you know, a very small city in Tennessee there, and they saw this hairy guy walking around the house. That's what one of the women said, was like, who's the guy with all the hair walking around your house? It was her neighbors calling and checking up on my grandmother.
Wow, because you guys are...
Just because she saw, they saw somebody new there. They saw a new car in the driveway, and they saw this grizzly bear apparently walking around the house. What's going on there?
Wow. Yeah, confidentiality is only one part of it, though. There's a lot more to it. Just families in general, whether it's a small town or a large town, you can't go into somebody's private residence and do your investigation and say, well, I got three pictures of orbs. That means you have three ghosts in your house and then leave. Goodbye, thank you.
Oh, absolutely.
That's just not what people are looking for. If people contact you, they're looking for answers maybe, or they want to be comforted, and they want to understand what is happening to their family and their home. And you have to actually, you're almost like a counselor. You have to sit down with them, explain what's happening, give them some of the reasons why, and then you go into the investigation and you try to disprove what's going on or find rational causes for it. A lot of people out there just simply want to know what's making noises in the night. And I'd say 9 times out of 10, there's a normal explanation for it, and it's nothing paranormal at all.
Mm-hmm. And I say that I agree with you on that, too. There usually is some plausible explanation for just about, I mean, the most occurrences people consider paranormal, and I say that in quotes, obviously. And that's one thing you want to tell people. I think that comforts a lot of people by telling them that, too. Like, look, okay, we found what the problem is. You had a leaky pipe in the wall. All we had to do is knock this wall down, and you won't have any more problems.
Everything
we
told I'll let my brother over and I'll fix that up for you.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, but it does happen. It does happen. Go ahead, Evan. Sorry.
That's okay. Aside from being comforted, like I said, a lot of times they would like to be educated, too, because mm-hmm. everybody knows that, knowledge is the best defense or whatever. So a lot of times just simply telling them what's going on, even if you can't really find a normal cause for it, that can comfort people, too. It's mm-hmm. just you don't want to leave them there and say, yep, here you go, goodbye. You have to take the time and sit down with them and explain to them what's happening, why it might be happening, and mm-hmm. what they can do about it. A lot of times, there's not a whole lot you can do about it, but at least they have an understanding of it better.
Well, one thing we've said this over the years here on the show, we've said this so many times, when there's been a few investigations that we've done where I've talked to the people, and one of the main things I've said to them was, like, look, we're going to be doing photos, we're going to be recording audio, we're going to be taking video, we're going to have maybe a psychic walkthrough here, we're going to be checking all kinds of stuff out around the property. If we come across something, well, if we don't get anything on film, we're going to show it to you. If we get something on film or whatever, or tape or whatever, we're going to show that and let you hear that too. Can you handle that kind of information? Are you going to be freaked out now to the point where after we leave here, you're going to put your house up for sale? That's one big question I like to ask people is, like, look, this is something that you really want to know. We don't know for sure either. We're just going to show you what we got on film, or what we got on audio. We're not going to say, like you said a few minutes ago, Evan, oh, we got three orbs, you have three ghosts. No, we're going to go, hey, look, here's something we thought was kind of anomalous we got on film. Here you go, check it out. But some people can't even handle that. That's
definitely true, too. Everybody has their own level of sensitivity. That's just another issue that you have to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, long as you explain it and let them know that really there's nothing that's going to hurt them, because usually there's really nothing to do with a haunting that can hurt you in any way
mm-hmm.
except for maybe scaring you. And that in itself can cause a lot of different problems. But I really do, I'm a strong believer in educating the people. And even if we find something that they don't really want to see, I like to show it to them, but it's the way that you convey it. Mm-hmm. You can, like I said before, you can do it the way where you just tell them, yeah, this is what's going on, goodbye.
Yeah.
But no, you have to sit down and actually talk with them and say, hey, this is what's going on, but really it hasn't hurt anybody and you're okay here.
Mm-hmm.
And in more severe cases, I like to, it's a pretty popular policy out there, the policy of taking back your home, just kind of putting it down and saying, hey, this is my home. And that has a lot of success right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I have a ghost in my closet, apparently.
Evidently.
I have a ghost in my closet, and I've done that personally. I've said, look, this is my closet, okay? These are my clothes.
And you only get two hangers. The ghost gets now two hangers, and that's it.
Well, no, I mean, but I've done the same thing. Like, okay, look, this is my house. You know, you want to chill. You want to chill here, that's cool. But, you know, don't be bothering me at nighttime when I'm trying to sleep.
Right, Evan.
Exactly.
Evan, I have a question. When, because this is obviously, you know, around here and throughout the country, Halloween is coming up, and what kinds of things go on up in the UP for Halloween? I mean, trick or treating must be a long, like, unless you're in a town, I mean, it would be, if it was like in Omer, trick-or-treating would be like a seven-hour event.
Yeah,
the UP
is the only place you need to trick-or-treat in a car, actually.
Yeah, you'd have to trick-or-treat in a car.
So trick-or-treating, they have designated times for it where you're supposed to trick-or-treat, and every town has its own time. Here in Escanaba, it's pretty cool because kids just go door-to-door, and it's such a safe area for them. It has an extremely low crime rate, and so it's really nice for kids trick-or-treating.
Awesome.
You can just go door-to-door, but I don't live in Escanaba. I live a little farther out, and I live about 3 miles from any main road, so it's a little bit different in the more rural areas.
Well, yeah, you should come down here and trick-or-treat one year. I think you'd... it's a whole different game.
It's
down
quite
here.
A different ball game
you
down here.
You dodge bullets and cars all night long.
Yeah.
Right? And then if you get
and then
that,
you get your bag stolen.
Yeah, you get your bag stolen, and if you happen to put something in your pocket, it's got a razor blade or a needle in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we are just absolutely unlucky.
It's an adventure
down
in its own
here.
Right,
yeah.
Definitely, for sure.
I guess I'm jealous.
You know, we're jealous of the better life, I think, up in the UP.
Is it a huge event up in Escanaba?
It depends on the area. Like in Bark River, that's where I'm from. It's not even a town that you'll find on most maps, but it's not really that big of a deal. Kids go trick-or-treating, but you don't see a lot of them. You'd be lucky to get 3 trick-or-treaters at your door the entire night, you know?
Well, there you go. You save money on trick-or-treating.
Yeah, that's awesome. I
just
buy
that on moving there.
Yeah. I have to buy hundreds of little Reese's peanut butter cups.
Oh, darn. We didn't get rid of all these.
They'd be all for me.
Jeez, darn. Evan, we need to thank you for coming on the show. We really appreciate your time, man. It's been a good time.
Excellent. Thank you for having me.
Please keep in contact. Stay on the line, though.
Stay on the line. Don't go anywhere. That's Evan from Shadow Watchers. Their website is www.myspace.com/ShadowWatchers. With one W there in the middle. Thank you, Evan.
We'll be right
coming
back. Coming up next, we actually... from Michigan Ghostwatchers.
I am so excited to talk to her again.
This is fun talking. I mean, it's kind of hectic doing, like, you know, every half an hour having a different guest come on. And this is something we're not going to have as many guests anymore. But it's like, let's do a Michigan Ghost Hunter show and talk to all these people that we don't get to talk to that much, even though we're in the same state.
Right. I think it's awesome.
Thank you again, Evan.
Thanks,
we appreciate you coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
Don't hang up.
Yeah, hang on. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like there's something happening in your home or business? Something you can't explain? Do you think that whatever is happening seems to be paranormal? Do they exist? Florida Ghost Hunters at FloridaGhostHunters.com are looking for haunted locations throughout Central Florida. Let the team at Florida Ghost Hunters investigate your paranormal experience. Their mission is to disprove a haunting with science, to find a reasonable explanation to a problem, and whatever is left becomes evidence. FloridaGhostHunters.com. If you've experienced paranormal activity in your home or business, you are urged to visit FloridaGhostHunters.com and click Need Help. FloridaGhostHunters.com.
It's business as usual in the apocalypse, and business is good. I'm Clyde Lewis, and you're listening to Ghostly Talk.
This Halloween night at 9 o'clock, the Northwest Arkansas Ghost Connection makes their TV debut on A&E's hit show, Chris Angel Mind Freak, for the most insane seance ever conducted, proving once and for all that the living can communicate with the dead. Five brave souls will spend the night in one of the most haunted places in America, the Armagosa Hotel in Death Valley, known for paranormal activity as Chris tries to connect with forces beyond our comprehension. Join the Northwest Arkansas Ghost Connection for the watch party at Moe's Southwest Grill in Bentonville.
We're going to live forever, Bill. We're spirits. Oh, I would love to believe that.
Several times.
Oh, yeah,
and impresses me all the time. Michigan Ghost Watchers are an experienced paranormal investigative team based in Southeast Michigan. There's never a fee for investigations. I want to welcome Cindy of Michigan Ghost Watchers. Their website is ghostwatchers.org. Cindy, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Thank you very much.
It's really great to have you on the show, Cindy.
Finally.
Yeah, long time no see. It's been a while.
That's it. I mean, because we used to hang. Well, not really, but a lot. You know, I mean, we did. We went to several events that you guys had put together, and it always learned a ton of stuff, and you guys are so energetic and so organized and everything like that. It's so great to have you on. Tell us what's been going on.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
What's been going on?
Oh, well, we kind of took a break for a few weeks. We all had some family matters to deal with for a while, but we're back, and we're even accepting new members again.
Oh, wow. Ooh.
So we're raring to go. Unfortunately, in Michigan, winter sets in. So it kind of makes outdoor investigations a little bit difficult, but there are plenty of indoor places.
Oh, yeah.
What? So we're always ready to go and find something new.
That's the reason we started Ghostly Talk, I think, actually.
It was
that.
Yeah, it was because it was so, it was in February, actually, and it was, it was just cold. And it's like, well, what can we do? And we decided, well, we can talk about this stuff and tape it and put up files on the internet. So kind of, that's how this show started. But you guys, I know you guys are busy year-round. You've got investigations, and you also do a lot of work for the paranormal community. And I mean, it's incredible. The Ghost Watchers are. How long have you been around?
Yeah, how long have you guys been circulating?
Actually, this October it is our 5-year anniversary.
Well, congratulations!
Congratulations!
Thank you.
That is awesome.
This March, well, next March, it's going to be our 5-year anniversary too.
Oh, great!
Show.
Yeah, we're just slightly younger than Ghostbusters.
And I guess we can announce this too. We're going to be celebrating our 5-year anniversary. It looks like now in Eureka Springs, Arkansas.
Yeah, we're going to Arkansas celebrate
our Michigan Bay show. Why not celebrate it somewhere else?
So we're going to Arkansas to celebrate our anniversary.
What's in Arkansas?
Well, there's a big paranormal conference going out there this year, and we're going to be talking more about that in the next couple of weeks and stuff like that.
Really?
We're gearing up for 2007, which is going to be, oh God, we were discussing it last night at the party, and I'm like, well, Doug, do you realize we got about maybe 8 to 9 months out of the year already of 2007, where we're going to be on the road every month, it seems like, going to different conferences and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we decided,
terrific.
Yeah, we decided in March we're going to be going out to Arkansas, and we figured, well, we looked at it and said, oh, great, it's our 5-year anniversary, too. Well, we got to figure out some way, you know, it's going to be our 5-year anniversary, so.
It's also my 27th birthday.
Yeah, it's going to be Doug's 27th birthday.
Wow.
Yeah. For the 27th year in a row, ironically. Yeah. I don't
understand that.
Now that must be a paranormal event.
That is. I have lots of 27th birthdays.
Yeah, he hasn't aged a day since I met him. I swear.
Really?
Yeah.
Will you be out at the Ghost World conference next year?
Absolutely.
Hey, we're going to be there.
That's one of the
things. So will I.
Yeah.
All right.
I saw your guys' name on there, and I was like, oh, how cool is that? Because I'm like, are we going to be the only people representing Michigan there? And then I saw Michigan Ghost Watchers, and I'm like, yay! All right, there's going to be somebody there we can stare at.
Oh, yeah. Have you been to Gettysburg before?
We were there for, the Mid-South Paranormal Convention.
No, not Mid-South.
It was the one before that.
Eastern Regional
Paranormal Conference. That's what Ghost World is replacing or succeeding.
Okay.
And
we went there in 2004. All of us went there together also. So we've been to Gettysburg a few times, actually.
Oh, I love Gettysburg.
It is so much fun to go there. And I tell people this all the time, even if you're not into, like, you know, ghost hunting, just to go there and kind of take it in and just go to the fields, go to the monuments, because the running joke I always say is, like, every building down there has a plaque on it for something.
It's true.
Every building down there.
Well, with good reason, though.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
That's where I'm going to be doing my, the bulk of my first paid vacation in like 12 years.
Oh yeah, we've been raving about that.
My first paid vacation is coming up in just a couple weeks. In 12 years, I was doing contracting and stuff like that. So any vacation that I took, you don't work, you don't get paid because it was a contract thing. Well, now I'm actually an employee of someone. Someone thought, oh hey, you know, we should probably hire him. So now I'm an actual employee.
Too.
Yeah, I know. I was absolutely floored. I'm still numb. But I get a vacation. I'm like, I have no clue what to do with a vacation. So
ghost hunting.
There you go. I'm going to Gettysburg and I'm going to be ghost hunting for like 4 or 5 nights.
Mm-hmm. And the Ghost World Conference out in July, it's going to be, I mean, what those guys are working on, you know, in regards to this particular event, it is going to be Ghost World.
Do you guys have a booth there? Are you going to all the events? Are you speaking?
I'm not speaking, and we don't have a booth, but we are going to be participating for sure.
Okay.
All the events.
Well, you guys
can get into.
Guys, come and hang out at our booth. Just sit with us all day.
We'll pull up some chairs, and you guys can just like make it like we'll put a big Michigan like map or something there.
Yeah,
and then it can be like the Michigan booth. Well, it'll end up being the party booth anyway.
Yeah, we'll roll the keg in an hour later, and they'll start gathering around.
Our booth is always the party booth.
It's always every one of these things we go to. It seems like the goofiness starts to ensue, and people are attracted to goofiness for some reason. So all the people are going, you know, we're serious paranormal researchers. But why is that guy over there with the Dr. Seuss hat on jumping around a Ghostly Talk T-shirt? I don't understand this.
So they come over to investigate, and there we are.
We're going to definitely come hang out with us. That'd be totally cool.
Yeah, Cindy, you've got to hang out with us because it's been so
like,
forever.
No problem. I'd love to.
Cool. And it's at the beautiful.
Actually, I agree with you on the goofiness. We have three main aspects in the Michigan Ghost Watchers. Number one, of course, is paranormal research and trying to collect evidence.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is the historical aspect, which is one of the reasons I love Gettysburg.
Mm-hmm.
But number three is goofiness. It really is, because we're not doing this because we have to. We're doing this because we want to.
Exactly.
And if you can't enjoy what you're doing, why do it?
Exactly.
So we have events for our group other than just serious investigations. Like last night, we went on a haunted hayride together.
Oh, how fun.
You have to be goofy. You have to enjoy what you're doing, or you're not going to do a good job, for one thing.
It seems as if we have these, with Ghostly talking, you know, we're not really a ghost hunting group, but per se, but
yeah,
we do research
really
together.
Yeah.
We do work together and stuff like that. The bulk of our investigations, we're all together because we've just known each other forever, it seems. And we have our little, like last night, we had the Halloween party that was going on, and everybody just kind of got together.
Yeah.
And I heard a lot of, you know, I was upstairs the majority of the night watching the baseball game because I just want to watch baseball.
Well, I think we should have gone. I know, that didn't happen very good. Oh, and speaking of which, the Detroit Tigers are playing right now as we speak because it started.
Yeah, they might. Anybody in the chat room or something knows the score? I'd like to know. I'm just curious.
We can update throughout the night.
But what I heard in the basement last night was a lot. I think they had the ping pong paddles, for example.
Oh.
They were playing this game. I saw it, and it was dice, right? And, like, you threw the dice, and it said, beat the crap out of somebody with a... With, I guess that's what every side of the dice said was, beat the crap out of somebody with
well,
with the
there
paddle.
Was actually one side that said something else, but that one didn't count because it was lame, so we would just re-roll it.
To tell you, shake your neighbor's hand.
Yeah.
Oh, that's no fun. No way.
No,
the other
one tickle.
Said...
Tickle, oh, yeah.
Tickle.
So the moral of the story
is... painful.
The moral of the story is we probably should have gone with you guys.
Well, the baseball game was very sad. I was sad.
Yes.
We got in the car after our hayride and turned down the radio and heard the score and went, oh, no! So.
Well, hopefully they're going to do better tonight. We'll have to see.
Oh, I hope so.
But that's definitely, you know, I was talking to another somebody yesterday. I can't remember right now. But we were talking about that stuff and how some people are just getting way serious, which I respect that. You know, in this
oh,
field,
sure.
I respect that. It's very cool. But I always, and I know Doug feels the same way, and it sounds like you feel the same way too, Cindy, is that, you know, take the work seriously. Definitely take the work seriously. Don't take yourself that seriously, though, all the time.
Right.
Because it'll burn you out real quick. And that's, you know, we just like to, we like to have fun and enjoy ourselves. And you got to laugh. You got to have a sense of humor, or you're not going to go anywhere, I don't think. That's just how
right.
I feel, you know. So.
Right. And when it turns into a job... it gets depressing, and you get frustrated, and you tend to miss details you should have caught
mm-hmm.
and not really be into it enough to do the quality of work that you want.
Mm-hmm. Well, God, I quit ghostly
talking.
You
have
talking.
To
I'm
have
not.
Fun.
Not a job.
I'm not doing ghostly talk anymore.
Well, if you take it totally seriously all the time and you never have fun and you're dead serious the whole time,
mm-hmm.
it's going to get frustrating.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
going to get boring.
I
and
agree.
Then it's going to be a job, and you're going, oh, well, I don't want to do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know? You've got to add that fun element in there.
Absolutely.
You, by the way, Cindy, I've talked about you on previous shows.
Here comes the questions.
Really?
Yes, I have.
Uh-oh.
Enough small talk, Cindy. Let's get into it.
Yes. I'm taking the gloves off. No.
It's
the opposite. I had said, because you had said to me, so this is my official, like, I'm going to give, although I did give credit.
You're
going to
quote her?
I'm
oh going to
give
God.
Credit. No,
Cindy
I'm
Duck.
Quote her.
Cindy Duck.
You had said to me that the word ghost hunting
yes.
did not seem very fitting to what we do.
Absolutely. You know, and that, yeah, thank you, Doug. Thank
you said if ghost hunting is like any other kind of activity, it's more like you know, instead of hunting, where, you know, people get rifles and, you know, wait
yeah.
for... You know, it's more like bird watching,
right.
where you go out and you've got your, you know, binoculars and maybe a recorder, and you know, you've got equipment, you've got this, and you just, you're there just to observe and basically, you know, make your life better, you know, and that ghost hunting is actually more akin to bird watching than it is to any kind of hunting,
mm-hmm.
and it's the same thing. You have to be in the right place at the right time. I mean, everything seems
right.
to line up if you ask. I heard you say this, and I thought, wow,
and if
that
I,
is a much better analogy.
Yeah, it is.
And I said, and I did repeat that once on a show, and I did.
No, you
say
did.
That
you did this.
It was you.
I want to send this to Cindy too. I have the file put away.
Oh, you have the file.
We did this thing a couple years ago. Every once in a while, when we were going to. Much less events, let's say, when we weren't on the road.
When we weren't so busy.
We weren't so busy, right? We used to go to, like, you know, one, like, you know, we might go to Mansfield Reformatory or go out and see Eunice White's, you know, great. And we were like, hey, let's, you know, we'd make, like, little flyers or whatever. Or we actually burned some CDs with, like, past episodes on there. Well, one year that was actually when we went on our big trip in 2004.
Okay.
We decided to put together, like, this really cool little, like, promo CD where, like, myself and Doug and one of our ex-hosts decided to, like, you know, do, like, a little excerpt of our own. And what Doug did, actually, is it was a write-up you did, Doug, and you just, it was spoken word, one of your main points, I remember, was just this. It was like, he said that, it was a whole analysis on what you said, Cindy, it's not quite hunting. You don't, like, mount a ghost on your hood and drive home and grunt with your buddy to a beer can in your hand. I mean, it's more of a...
Most of us don't.
Yeah, I caught one, guys, it's right there. You see? It's right there.
Let's untie it.
The U.S. government does that, why can't we? we do that, right? So, no, but Doug does this whole, I mean, it was a great piece of work, and I have it, too. I should play it sometime on the show. I really should. I have all this stuff. I want to send this over to you. I'm going to find it and maybe burn it to a CD or put it up on the server and have you download it, because it's a really cool, it's based on what you said.
And it's all you, Cindy, because
wow,
you're the one.
Cool, thank you.
Without even knowing it, it's like you reached around and slapped me upside the head and said, hey, you know, here's a better analogy. And it's true. And that was you who said that. I remember it.
Well, I like to think of ghosting as kind of like a non-aggro activity. And really, I still say it a lot. Doug says it a lot. Bonnie says it a lot. Everybody says it a lot. We're going ghost hunting.
That's a cliche now.
Well, yeah, we're going ghost hunting. Yeah.
Right.
That's just the name that's given to us.
Yeah, and the term hunt, when you say the term hunt, it's a very aggressive, aggro type term.
But there's certain things about the word hunt that makes sense. You know, it's still right place, right time. You know, you have equipment. There's things like that.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
There's certain things, but it's definitely
sure.
It falls apart at some point.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And yeah, the aggression.
Because we're out there to observe and collect as much evidence as we can. But we must, on a serious note, we must be respectful.
Mm-hmm.
These are deceased people. These are people's grandmas and grandpas and aunts and uncles and even children.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not out there trying to hunt them down, so to speak. We're out there respectfully asking, would you please give us some evidence of your existence?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I was coming from with the ghost watching as opposed to the ghost hunting.
And that's how you named your entire group was ghostwatchers.org, and I can't tell you how much respect I have for that, because once you explained it, and I think we were standing around in a kitchen somewhere, and you're like, well, it's not like hunting, and you just went into it, and I'm like, you know, she's absolutely right.
And I have that, and I'm going to pull it out. I have the CDs put away.
Yeah,
and I'm gonna break those things out. I know I have them somewhere. I can break them out. And
I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, I mean, I want you to hear it, but I'm gonna probably put it in the commercials and stuff too. It was a really good piece of work.
Okay. Oh, wow. Oh my gosh. I'm writing today down on my calendar.
There you go. There you go.
I got a
slapping his back really good.
I got a flap on the back now. Hey, put the ping pong paddle back.
All right.
Are we playing games now?
I think we just fell all apart. But no, thank you, Cindy. I have to thank you for that, because that was...
You're quite welcome.
That really, you really did open my eyes.
Well, it was an eye-opener for me, too. I was like, you know, because you explained it to me. You're like... Because you showed me the painting.
Well, it's not me. It's all
Cindy.
Well,
when you did this nice write-up, though, and you're like, hey, read this. I'm like, okay, cool. And I read this thing, and I'm like, wow, that's a very, very, very good point.
And it makes sense. I'm glad. I'm so glad to get you on the show, because
so any
give you credit for that.
Yeah. Any ghost hunting group out there, this is an announcement right now. Any ghost hunting group out there that has hunters in their name, pull it out right now or you're going to get arrested.
Oh, no. That's not right.
This isn't a ghost hunter police.
This is all in good fun. Now, come on.
No. But it does. That analogy does fall apart, and bird watching analogy does not. And that's why ghost watchers is an absolutely perfect name.
Well, what about meeting some common ground here? How about, okay, we hunt them until we find them, and then we watch them.
And then we watch them.
There you go. I mean, we are out there looking for them.
Hunt and then watch.
Yeah, so ghost, as opposed to hunting and shooting.
Right.
Hunting and watching. Okay.
The only shooting we do is with our camera.
Exactly. Yeah.
There you go. So I think that maybe some common ground between the two terms there. I think, you know, we should take this up to the higher ups at corporate and stuff, obviously. But I think we can get the okay from that. We'll be good to go.
We'll call GHI and ask them.
Yeah.
They'll have an opinion. So tell me about ghost hunting in Michigan. So
yeah,
what's so great about Michigan? That's what I want to know.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah.
Actually. No, Michigan's a beautiful state. We do have the weather problems. That's mm-hmm. the biggest deterrent that I've found to ghost hunting in Michigan,
mm-hmm.
or ghost watching in Michigan, however you want to put it.
Mm-hmm.
It is the weather. It's hot, it's cold, it's dry, it's wet. And all these, we go out
that's
and
in one day.
And there's thousands of orbs in it, and you know what? They're water droplets or they're dust particles or whatever else the weather has caused us to pick
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it very difficult, especially for paranormal photography. You go out in the winter and you have to hold your breath for almost a minute before you can snap a picture. And it just gets to the point where it's not even worth it sometimes.
Mm-hmm. True. Very true.
It is very difficult in Michigan, I think.
So it's a challenge. That's a challenge, Cindy.
Well, for the outdoor locations, that's a definite deterrent, you know, and there are good indoor locations to work on also.
True.
You get the proper
permission,
and that's where it's at here, I think, in Michigan, because you are right. We've done a lot of work outside, and, I mean, I'm talking from the summertime, you know, a nice, brisk summer night, all the way to a blizzard.
We've been in a blizzard.
Blizzard, yep. Where it's the last place you should be ghost hunting in a blizzard, just so people know that out there. You don't want to be in the middle of a blizzard because you can't take any pictures. Imagine that.
Right.
And it has happened to us.
It has happened to us for real.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. It's happened to us all. We go out to a location and all of a sudden it starts to rain. After we've driven for 45 minutes, we have to turn around and go home.
Exactly.
And so it makes it a little tough.
So it's challenging. But also we've got some pretty deep-rooted history.
Oh, we certainly do.
The area you're in, because you're sort of more southwestish of us, right?
Yeah.
Is primarily an area that we would travel to, because you are in quite a good area, I think.
It really is. There are several places in this area that we've found to be very active. One place I do want to start getting into more is the city of Detroit.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, we have a big investigation coming up next month, and I can't disclose the location right now.
No problem.
But it is in the city of Detroit, and it is a National Historic Site.
Mm.
And we've been asked to go out and see what we can find. So I look forward to that very much, because it seems like the city itself seems to be ignored. Like you said, you always come out this way. Because there seems to, and I think the problem, part of the problem is that the locations out this way and in the countryside, they're easier to gain access to. They're easier to get permission to get into. And in the city, it seems to be more difficult because everything is either a public place or it's too dangerous to go to that area at night or something else, some other kind of deterrent where it makes the city kind of difficult and tricky to find places to get into.
Well, the idea also too, like in the area you're at, it's more country oriented and things like that, whereas Detroit is this metropolis where it's all blinking lights and skyscrapers and stuff like that.
Right.
And when I think of a good ghost story, and I'm just talking about like just a good old ghost story, I don't think of like the Haunted Tower of Detroit or something like that. I've never heard a story like that before. Whereas there's, I mean, when you talk about stories that are more out in the country, I mean, you know, not aside from Michigan, like the Bellwitch story, that's on a farm, for God's sakes. I mean, it's your classic story of a haunting. You know, it's not Michigan, but it's a classic story of a haunting, and it's a good example of what I think people in their minds really picture a ghost story or a haunting of some sorts. It's not in the city of Detroit, but there are a lot of haunted areas down there.
Oh, sure, there has to be. There were battles down there, and the city of Detroit's been around since the 1700s. So there's a lot of history down there. And wherever there's a lot of history, just as in Gettysburg, there's going to be a lot of traumatic events and a lot of hauntings.
I think I would like to check into this too, Doug. Maybe we could check this out. The ghost of Coleman A. Young.
Roaming the Manoogian.
He's roaming the Manoogian. We have to get access to the Manoogian mansion and check that out.
So all we have to do is run for mayor.
Yeah, run for mayor.
Or wait for the next party.
Yeah.
Oh,
my goodness.
Politics coming up on
Ghost. We are going to go to hell. Right? We have officially signed our tickets. Next train to hell. We're all on that, definitely.
Wow.
Cindy, anything going on? What's coming up for Ghost Watchers of Michigan?
Well, that one investigation I mentioned. Other than that, we plan to take December off. Everyone is too busy with the holidays.
Oh, yeah.
But once that is done, we like to go into museums and different places like that, again, where there's history, historical artifacts, and see what we can do there for the winter months. We also try to do training for new members and different things like that over the winter months before we can get back outside again.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
We're kind of laid back in the winter months.
Well, it is that time when, you know, like we said at the very beginning of this half an hour, it's kind of how Ghostly Talk was born. It's really cold outside. We tried that for a couple times, and we're like, man.
Once I swore I had frostbite.
Yeah.
Do you remember the time prison, right behind the prison?
The new cameras.
And yeah. When we got our new camera.
We got in the car, and it was pain.
It was searing pain in our fingers.
I mean, I was, like, holding my hands, like, yelling in the car. We were only out for, like, 2 seconds, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so cold out that night, the cold just went right to our hands. And we had to run back. So, yeah, I'd rather be somewhere nice and warm talking about this, I think, or training new members. Or finding a nice, warm house to investigate, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
That's something we do, too, is when we get requests for private homes, we'll do that.
Definitely. Cindy, we need to thank you for coming on the show. We really, really appreciate it. And it was great talking to you again. It's been forever.
You too.
I swear.
And you know you have been an inspiration to me, and you should be an inspiration to everybody. It's www.ghostwatchers.org.
Definitely check that out. Cindy, stay on the line. We're going to go to break here. Guys, this is Ghostly Talk. It's Michigan Ghost Hunters Night.
Yes.
Talking to Michigan Ghost Hunter
Ghost Hunter in the studio as well.
Oh, yeah, Chris.
Who we haven't heard very many questions from.
Chris, you need to get in here and get your hands
ready. I've
been gagging him. Oh, you've been? Okay, well, good. Yeah.
Poor Chris. Poor Chris.
But, and coming up, Brad of SEMGHS.
We'll be right back.